I wanted to get it out of the way. So when Russ Travers came to the phone earlier today, I opened by asking, tell me about the day this spring when you were forced out of your job.
I was removed on the 18th of March.
The job Travers was removed from, running the National Counterterrorism Center. Travers says he did not have adequate resources for the mission, so he requested a meeting to explain the mission and lay out his concerns to then Acting Director of National Intelligence, Richard Grenell.
I walk in and he took over the meeting. We exchanged pleasantries and he tells me that my deputy, Pete Hall, who was a very renowned NSA officer, and I were both out.
The DNI's office has maintained Travers was not fired, that he was invited to move to a new role.
Well, I certainly told all of my friends and colleagues coming out of that meeting that I was fired. I went in as the acting director of the center, and I came out not being such anymore. So I don't know what the verb is, but I was out.
This is Russ Travers' first broadcast interview since leaving government. I wanted to understand the warning he was trying to deliver, a warning he spelled out in a disclosure that was shared with the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. This was the alarm bell that you were trying to ring.
It was.
The NCTC was stood up for a reason, to make sure there would never be another 9/11. Is your concern that we are walking back the reforms that were put in place to protect us from another terror attack?
I am. I was pretty explicit in my disclosure to the Hill, and perhaps reasonable people can differ, that if we as a country believe that conditions have so changed that we can go back to the kind of construct that we had before 9/11, then so be it. Change the law, relieve the center of responsibilities. But I want that to be a conscious decision because I absolutely believe it's the wrong answer.
To play devil's advocate, Al-Qaeda is not the organization it once was. ISIS is not the organization it was just a few years ago. Why shouldn't fewer resources be devoted to fighting terrorism if it's become a less urgent threat?
I actually believe that's true. The threat is not what it once was. There needs to be a rationalization of resources against terrorism. And as I say, I think we could do that, but it does require both a change in mindset in that not every department and agency needs to do everything.
Bottom line, you're raising the question of whether the U.S. is prepared for a major terrorist attack. If there were one in the works, is the U.S. back to where we were before 9/11?
That's what I put in the disclosure, that it felt to me like the kind of the integrative function within the government is moving backwards.
The integrative function, meaning our ability to connect the dots?
Yes. And I'm worried that people kind of want to move on from terrorism. And I don't think we're going to see an attack tomorrow, although frankly, it wouldn't surprise me because this is about people and networks and it's really complicated and hard to track. I'm probably more concerned about a few years down the road. And there's got to be a single belly button that is ultimately responsible and accountable for the terrorist threat, working in conjunction with all of our partners. And as NCTC was supposed to be that organization, we are less capable of doing that.
A few days after you were ousted, nine former very senior leaders of the intelligence community wrote an open letter in the Washington Post. And the letter talked about, in their words, the deeply destructive path being pursued by the Trump administration. I know that you don't want to wade into politics. You told me you don't think it's constructive. But there are undeniable tensions between this president and the intelligence community. And I wonder, what do you think are the consequences of those tensions?
I worry about it a lot. There are always tensions. I do think that it's far worse in the current administration. It's not healthy. The intelligence community, for the most part, is a behind-the-scenes player. They will often carry a message that policymakers don't want to hear, but I've never seen it like this.
You're prompting me to think of another line in that open letter from the group of nine very senior intelligence leaders. They wrote that your removal sent a message, and they summed it up this way, and I'll quote, "Every current officer sees that speaking truth to power in this administration is an immediate career killer." Do you think, Russ Travers, that that is the message being sent or how it's being heard?
Um, I do. I've never, again, I've been doing this for 42 years. I have never seen intelligence community, longtime civil servants removed because they had opinions that were different than the administration. I mean, for instance, Director Clapper, who signed that letter, he and I differed. I wrote articles about sort of my concerns about the intelligence community many years ago. He didn't like the article, but they fostered that kind of conversation, and I just think that that's what we want out of our intelligence community, and you don't want people chary about saying what they believe to be the truth.
I can hear you struggling to answer these questions. I know this is not something you're used to doing, giving interviews and speaking in any way about a government which you served for more than four decades. I do want to ask, because you're a private citizen now and you can speak, is there anything you would say on behalf of people who continue to work for U.S. intelligence agencies who cannot speak publicly?
I think I will pass on that. I will just say that I personally don't believe that we have the governmental structures in place to deal with a really complicated world. I worry about the downsizing of the National Security Council. I certainly worry about what's happened to NCTC and our ability to do a whole of government planning. I personally believe that both of those need to change, and it's going to require a sophisticated conversation about national security and what are our interests and how do we stitch departments and agencies together, because at the end of the day, we are largely a government of departmental sovereignty.
So just to be clear, you're not saying, hey, I ran this center, the budget got cut, I'm mad about it, we need more money thrown at this problem. You're saying, let's be intentional about figuring out what the national security threats are and that we don't go back to something that we fixed after 9/11, that we don't go back to the way things were and make it harder to connect the dots.
That's exactly right. I want a conscious decision. I want eyes wide open. As I said, if people believe that conditions have so changed and the threat is so diminished that we can go back to the way things were, then so be it. I just personally don't believe that's the right answer, and I don't like the quality of the discussion that has gotten us to this point.
That is Russ Travers. He began his career more than 40 years ago as an Army intelligence officer. Until this past March, he ran the National Counterterrorism Center. His retirement became official earlier this month. Mr. Travers, thank you.
Mary Louise, thank you very much.